Hello, hello, and welcome back to Intimate Business with me, the UA Coder. Today, we're going to discuss very, very, very fast a little bit about Web3. I know everybody's talking about this. Everybody knows about this. And like I read an article that said, unless you have been living under a rock, you know what Web3 is. So yeah, I've been living under a rock that it's made out of a baby and life and work. Stress and moving, but yeah, I've been looking into Web3 for like a couple months now, but now for real. And the second thing we're going to talk about is the reason why I decided to stop showing my face in social media. Of course, in my personal social media, where my family can and friends from distance can be updated. It's privately made, but I will of course still show my face around. Apparently there's gonna be quite some pauses here because I'm sneezing like a crazy person at the moment. But yes, why stop showing my face on social media and Web3. So welcome today. Let's talk about, sorry for the clap, I'm sure it's gonna sound terribly on your like ears right now. Apologies. Web3. Okay, my first disclaimer, I'm not an expert and I'm just sharing because it's been said that while teaching, you learn more yourself. But I'm not here as a teacher, I'm here as a sharing, like the whole process of learning about it and how interesting it is and how non-trusting I was in the beginning. And like, I wouldn't think it's like, oh, it's a bubble or not, and all those things. And the second thing on why I stopped showing my face on social media, well, it's just a personal choice, nothing more than that. So if you want to skip this episode, you can go ahead and skip because it's not like you're gonna get much more than just a conversation with a friend. But let's jump into Web3. Everybody knows this, so I'm just gonna make it short. Web1 was just having a website up there with no ability to be Web3 is a third generation of the web as we know it. Web1 was like the ability to have a website and communication in one way direction, right? Like you publish a website and there's no opportunity for the content to be created with more people than the publisher itself. So the publisher owns the place, it hosts the website, the content and everything. Web2 was the second generation, and please feel free to correct me if I'm completely wrong or I'm saying crap here. There's a high chance, high probability that I am just saying random stuff here. But the good part is that I'm able to explain it in a very, very simple way. So whoever is not very deep into these things might find it very easy to understand. So Web2, the second generation, is what we know today, right? Any kind of website and platform, you are like today's users, we all are like given it for granted that you're able to interact, that you're able to leave a comment, to share, to post. Like all social media has been built around the whole point that they don't create the content, but the users create the content itself, right? And so it's the content creation is not centralized. Let's put it that way. If we talk about centralization and cryptocurrencies and whole thing about like, oh, the bank centralizes the worth of the money now, or the amount of money, and now cryptocurrencies, it's decentralizations of economy. Now, this is like of content creation or of publishing on the web. So Web1 was centralized 100%. Web2 is decentralized because most websites, unless it's a static website where you're like, okay, I'm a dentist and I just need a website to just put my brand there and allow people, I'm gonna cough, sorry, and allow people to, I don't know, maybe to book an appointment. Even there's already an openness and an expectation for a user, so not 100% centralized, to be able to go in there and send an email or leave their comments or do something or book an appointment. So you're actually, maybe the publishing of content is centralized, but the interaction is actually not centralized because you're expecting people to contribute or to book through the platform, etc. But so unless you're that, most other websites and platforms really require for people to contribute in their own way and publishing. And so the whole content creation and information creation is decentralized. Now, Web3, what is that? The problem with Web2 is that even though the content is decentralized, the value, the service, the information gathered, all that, all those things are 100% centralized and owned by the owner of the platform, aka Facebook, aka Google, aka Google Waze, Google Maps, any platform that you're using. You might be contributing, you're not reading their own content. It's not like Mark Zuckerberg is publishing and that's all what we're reading. It's you're reading and following and consuming the content created by yourself and by other people. But the owners of that data information is that company, and that company can use it as they please, as long as they have, you have signed the term sheet for, agreement. They can use your information, which right now it's a full-on case, right? Like everybody's GDPR and everybody is like blocking. If you have an iPhone, you're not allowing social media to get your information, etc. But the whole point is that Web2, the platforms or wherever we live, is still the ownership of the platform, and the ownership of this information, the gathered information of the users, is centralized. What Web3 is proposing in very simple matters is that everything is decentralized. So the whole thing is owned by all the co-creators, let's put it that way. So everybody who contributes owns a piece of it. And how do they own a piece of it? Through cryptocurrency. Dun, 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 dun. So I'm not going to go into very much detail here, but I'm going to give an example so you guys can a little bit understand much more. First, I need you to understand what is cryptocurrencies. Second, I need you to feel comfortable with Ethereum and how the blockchain works a bit. Or if you own something in Ethereum, even if you don't understand how it usually works, you might understand a bit more than you think. And then a little bit around NFTs, if you have any knowledge about a non-fungible token. And this conversation, I'm going to start there because this has been hot for the last year or so, 2 years maybe. Non-fungible tokens, and so all these stories about people, and like this New York Times article that was a screenshot of an article that actually became worth millions just because it was made into NFT, non-fungible token. Non-fungible means non-editable, non-mutable, not changeable. So whoever owns this NFT of this article in New York Times, they own the original one, and the trace of which one is the original one is on the blockchain. So it doesn't depend on one person, it depends on the whole system created by every single contributor to the blockchain. And that code is the one able to identify that this exact image is owned by this exact person who paid this amount for this non-fungible token or NFT. So if you are related to this, it's been like a super hot mess. It's not like all the sayings around is not sustainable, because how much energy you need to maintain all the information every that requires to sustain never able to be erased NFT. So whenever you upload an NFT, whatever it's a GIF, an image, a document, whatever it is, it's in a digital form, and then you upload it and you declare it as an NFT. You have to pay a cost, but then the actual cost, and then to be in the marketplace and to make it an NFT and stuff, but the actual cost in energy is huge, because this NFT you just created, it's supposed to be able to be living forever. Like forever. So it doesn't matter how many years it passes, it requires it, that it's gonna forever require the contribution of energy and information from the blockchain to support it forever. And because of this, it's not sustainable, and other reasons that actually you could go into, I think there was one video from Masha from Stereotype Breakers, That explained this much better. But yeah, so that's an NFT, and you can turn anything into an NFT. It became very hot around art, because nowadays, or in the past, you would, like, okay, you buy for millions and millions the Frida Kahlo painting, and it's a physical painting, but most likely you're gonna have that in a safe somewhere, protected, and then you're gonna have a replica displayed, or you're gonna have it at your home or whatever if you're like a multi-billionaire. But the whole point here is that you have your own little paper and documents that prove you own that, right? And it's just physical. And we've been doing this for years and years, paying shit lots of money for a piece of object, like a piece of paper with painting on it, because it's so much valuable. Again, the reason why is because it's not replicable. So if you think about this, one of the biggest trends, or one of the biggest things that happen, is that if you're an artist, or if there is a painter that is an up-and-coming painter, and then suddenly he dies, the amount of paintings this person produces, they are done. They're finite. So you cannot just... He cannot just keep producing more. Hundreds and hundreds and more people can own a little piece of the Yogi Coder's art, the Yogi artist's paintings, for example. But when they die, every single piece of their art are worth much more. And like the collectors go nuts. Da, 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 da. This happens over and over again, right? But again, it's a little piece of cloth. And I remember having this discussion with someone, like, why would you pay something for something digital if you can just screenshot and stuff? It's the same. It's the same that with art, with like the art that you pay for the piece of cloth with like paint on it. You can replicate that. There's hundreds and millions of replicas around the world, but people pay a lot of money to own the original. Right? And nobody's going around checking the original or like checking the papers around it. You just own it. And it's the same for digital form art. And even more, because digital form art can be used in many ways. You can sell it, and it's very easy to track who's the owner. So like black market ends up being like almost impossible. Then you can actually display it in a metaverse. We'll talk about that later if you're not related to a metaverse. We can discuss that. You can print it out. You can have it replicated. You can sell it in mugs. I don't know. You can use it in so many ways if it's digital form, much more than if you have it physically. So actually, there's going to be a point when we're going to question historically how on earth were we given so much value to a physical item that was not being able to be used so much more. And it was replicated in many, many ways. But you would pay a lot of money for the original Mona Lisa, right? Even though every single person has a replica, like a lymphogram, or what is it? Like a printed version of the Mona Lisa. And digitally and physically and every way. So I think there's going to be a moment where we're going to look back and think, oh, wow, how stupid it was to actually pay so much money for something physical, that it was so complicated to confirm that... that it was the original. So I think it's just part of the evolution and how NFTs work. The whole point of being a bubble or not, it's irrelevant. Every time this happens in the market, in the stock market, every time something becomes a super hype, everybody wants to buy in when it's growing. And then suddenly, just if it doesn't produce enough value, of course it bursts. And people get out, right? But anyways, like the bubble of the internet in the early 2000s, the e-commerce and stuff, it bursts and brings down a lot of companies, but it also enables and makes the paves the way for the actual new companies that are going to come and grow. So it's worth keeping an eye on. It's worth really learning more. It's worth trying to participate. If you're new to all this, I would encourage you to get some Ethereum. That would be my only. This is not a financial advice. I am no financial advisor. This is a friendly thought, saying like, if you have nothing, no knowledge stuff, learn as much as you can. But get an Ethereum. If you are curious and you want to participate, get an Ethereum, get a fraction of an Ethereum, and just get learning and learning and learning. I would not recommend immediately buying an NFT or anything. You can get very, very lucky, and you can be not lucky. There is one example of a Web3, going back to Web3, one example of a Web3 company that just made a lot of money or a lot of money in cryptocurrency. I just have to like make that very clear. They just created this 10,000 limited and unique avatars that I don't remember the name of it. Doodles. It's called Doodles. You can go and search for it. And I actually just launched on Twitter, I think. They created, okay, there's only going to be 10,000. These avatars are created by a computer, AI. So they just have these like factors or variables. They're like, the accessories and the color of the hair and what like, but it's a base design, and then you can change it a little bit here and there, the length of the hair and this and that, color, accessories, on and on, whatever. You just put that into a code, and the code gives you, or the AI gives you 10,000 combinations. So each of these avatars are completely, not completely, are very different, but they seem to be like the same species, let's put it that way, in many, many variants. So they just make 10,000 and that's it. No more, never will be made more. They put a price on Ethereum and then they just trading them. And they're being traded as valuable because it's a limited amount of them. It's not like every human is going to be able to get this avatar, because there's only 10,000. So now, just as an example, I think the cheapest is around 2-3 Ethereums in the bidding round. So the amount of money being traded and used in this company is high. But the difference is that this company, so from this 10,000, imagine 10,000 avatars, and all of them, I don't know in average how much are they being traded for, but like let's think that in average they're being traded by 10 Ethereums, and the Ethereum is worth shitloads of money right now. So every day they are trading each of these avatars for more money because more people want to buy it, and but there's only 10,000, so one person has to sell it, and they only sell it to the best bidder. So there's many bidders trying to buy the same avatar, and the highest bid wins, and that's how the avatar gets more and more valuable throughout time. It's interesting to explain that these 10,000 avatars are NFTs. I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. But these 10,000 avatars are NFTs. They're non-fungible tokens, and that's where they're being traded. The person who produces them and uploads them as a non-fungible token is the company, right? Doodles. And the company is owned by 4 people. Great. And the or 7, I don't remember. But imagine they put them for 0.001 Ethereum and people bought them and trading forever. They will get, for every trade that happens, they will get a little tiny fraction of the earnings of that conversion or of that sale. So the company keeps making money as long as these avatars keep being traded and keep being more valuable throughout time, because they are limited amount of them and there's more people interested in wanting more of them. And what the company had to do is create this hype around it and in a specific community. And it's 10,000. You don't need to create a hype around like everywhere in the world, right? You just need a little bigger of an audience, and then they're valuing this a lot and they want to own their own avatar. That's another huge opportunity. I've been thinking about it, but anyways, we'll talk about it later. I don't know if you've seen, there's famous singers and people from Hollywood having their profile pictures as weird avatars, and it's an NFT. They bought an NFT of that design, and then that's what they're using. If you ever, now just because they are using it as their identification online, if they want to sell it, it's just gonna worth millions. It's gonna be worth millions. But anyways, so my whole explanation here is that yes, this company and these owners are gonna get a little tiny bit of every time these NFTs are traded, and that's how companies are gonna make money. But the ownership of these avatars or the ownership of these NFTs are in the blockchain, are like the control of the ownership is in the blockchain, and the ownership is with the people. So if you bought it, you have it and you own it, and then you sell it and you make the money from selling that. And the information is not being able to be shared in any non-cryptic way. But anyways, if you have a better explanation for this, because it's a weird thing that I am able, or I think I'm able to understand it, but then when I'm trying to explain it, it's very challenging for me. And I find it, so I'm trying to explain to my husband, and he makes some questions, and I was like, oh, I don't know how to explain this, but this is how it works. So please reach out to me in Instagram or my email, theyoyocoder.com, whatever you want. Reach out to me and give me a better explanation, or send me a video or something you want me to watch. But I would really recommend you, first of all, go into Google and ask Web 3.0. What is this? What is Web 3.0? How it works? How NFT works? Like, Google all these things, NFTs, cryptocurrencies. Google, what is blockchain? How does blockchain work? How does Web3 work? How do you make money with, like, all these things? And the interesting thing is that, I don't know if you guys remember, I posted on Instagram some time ago. I had to erase it, though. I'll explain why I erased my face kind of posts, and it's going to change. But I posted that it was my time to give back, and that I was going to give, and I gave some hours away for what I do most, which is my career is around business development and business growth for companies. So I wanted to help you guys, or in one-on-one, to listen to, like, your side projects, your ideas, whatever, that you are not very sure in how to turn them into an actual business. And I would just give you my consulting for free. And a lot of you came back and pretty interesting and cool ideas that I just want to see them going great and support. And I'm just supporting as a cheerleader, not an investor or anything. But if I can help, like, you guys have helped me in many ways, I just was happy doing that. So I'll have to repost that in a different way, because going into why I chose to erase all my face from the public social media I have. As I said before, the private social media that I have with my family and friends, that, of course, I'm sharing my face. I'm not scared, or I hope I shouldn't be scared, especially since I don't live nearby family and a lot of my friends from Mexico and Latin America. I really appreciate the ability of being able to connect through social media posts. So I have those privately, but the Yogi Coder has been an open blog since forever. And I realized that more and more I was being more and more uncomfortable sharing my face and my child's face and everyone. And it's okay. Like, I'm not, like, I change my mind all the time. And right now I'm not, like, I'm not biased, or I'm not angry against privacy and stuff. I think my face and everybody's face is out there much more than we would like it to be. And that's just how it is. I'm not scared about that. But I realized that it just was awkward. And, like, I looked through my feed and I started erasing some stuff. And I realized, what happens if I erase every single post where it's like a selfie? I'm sorry. And I'm really not judging. I see, and I follow other accounts with, like, reels, and then they have the fun reels and the selfies. And I love looking at people's faces. I have to admit it, I'm loving it. But for me, it just felt weird. Well, like, 99.9% of the pictures that I was showing my face, it was like an awkward selfie, honestly. It was like, there's no point. Like, I don't need to show my face to make the point of what I'm saying or sharing at the moment, whether it was a hard moment or an interesting thing, or where to learn to code, or how to make this into a business, or how to build your own freedom, whatever the subject was of my posts. Like, the face and the selfie was awkward to me. So I just started erasing one by one, and I realized, oh, it feels so good. It's like, I don't know if you have shared ever this feeling where you're like, oh, it feels a little bit like, ew. Like, gives you the shivers, literally, when you're like, ugh. That's how I felt when I saw my own posts, and it just felt so good to erase it. And back to the whole point, it's just like taking away the attention of the brand or the encoder or whatever I'm doing with that, taking away the attention from me as a person and putting it more in, like, the activities that I'm doing, the things that I believe in, or the contributions or the cooperations and partnerships I'm doing with you guys and different things. So I just felt it was completely unnecessary for my face to be there as a selfie. If there's a point of sharing my face, I think I'll do it without a problem. But, like, I realized at some point on my feed that I was just sharing my face as a selfie because I knew the algorithm would give it more, and still does, give it more opportunity or more impressions if and more reach if my face or a human's face is in it, versus if it's just like what I'm doing or the desk or whatever else that is not a human face. So that's why every single post was my face, and it went from like 460 something posts to 180 or 160, something like that, ridiculous. But anyways, it was fun, and I think it requires much more creativity and more value added to post something that is not just a selfie. But anyways, this is just me. Maybe tomorrow I'll change my mind and I'm gonna spam my feed with my selfies, but so far it felt so damn good to erase it. And I have found this for a long time now, actually. That was my logo for the podcast, this little drawing that I identify myself so well with, the blue hair. So that's my face now. But okay, this is it for today. I am about to cough again and I want to spare you that. So thank you so much for listening, and hope to read or hear from you very soon. Please send me if you have a better explanation and more detail around Web3, and more interesting, more than explanation, I think the best way to explain it is using a company as an example. So, and I'm just gonna, oh, there, yeah, anyways, I'm not gonna give that other disclaimer, but yeah, if you want to explain something around Web3, please do it around a company, because it's going to be easier for me or for others to understand. If you want to send that explanation through an email, through a video, whatever, send it to theyoicoder@gmail.com. And yes, I'll share it through here in social media or whatever I can. Have a great day and get learning. Don't stop learning. Don't stop being curious, even though these kind of things might look weird and crazy. And what is the metaverse and stuff? Google it. It doesn't have to take more than 5 minutes of your time, but stay curious. Stay curious, stay foolish, stay happy, and stay free. Have a good one.